Do you need some entertainment this weekend, but you don't know which movie to go to, which cinema to see, or which album to listen to? Well, you're in luck, because Wayne Massingham is here to save you with his weekly recommendations in film, music, and television. It's Wayne's 4x2. It's four reviews, 2 minutes each. Wayne, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Rain's returned to Sydney, but hopefully it's just today and we get back to that nice fine weather for the weekend.
That does look like the forecast, so yeah. Fingers locked for that. But if it takes a turn for the worst, Wayne, and we got to stay indoors nice and safe, I'm sure you've got something for us to watch and enjoy ourselves with.
Absolutely. Well, let's start off with a trip to the cinema. This film opened last week. I was highly anticipating it because it's been getting rave reviews in the US. And that is Sorry Baby. This is the debut film for Eva Victor. Not only did they write and direct this film, but also stars as Agnes, who's a literature professor, very young one, in a small liberal arts college in New England. And the film starts when she's being visited by her former college friend, Liddy, who's come up from New York, and they're just talking about the old days, I guess. But you sense there's a nagging issue that they're not really talking about that's happened in the past. And then we go back to the college days, and she's studying, being very successful, studying English, and has a very good relationship with her English professor. But it turns sour when there's a sexual assault. It's handled very well. There's some dark periods in this film, but it's not an incredibly heavy film. It's done very nicely, if you can do that with something as serious as sexual assault. And after that, we go through a few periods up until the present day, seeing how Agnes has handled this. But it's done incredibly well. It's so well written, so nuanced. There's even time for a bit of dark humour in there. And Eva Victor is just wonderful as Agnes. So really beautifully written, beautifully acted film, remarkable for a debut. It just has a lot to say about, I guess, recovery, getting over horrible incidents, getting on with your life. Just beautiful film. As I said, Eva Victor's wonderful in it. And Naomi Aki, a really great British actress who I love, plays her best friend Liddy. And there's also a small term from Lucas Hedges, who hasn't been in a film for a while, but's a mainstay of these sort of American indie films. So highly recommend this one. It's a small film, but it's in cinemas right now. It's called Sorry Baby.
Awesome. Well, that is an exciting endorsement. And I have seen a couple of things by Eva Victor. I mean, featured in the television series Billions. So pretty exciting to see what stuff they get up to next. So I might have to go see Sorry Baby myself.
Yeah, definitely recommend it. It's I think they're quite a significant talent to watch.
Awesome. That's one film, Wayne. What else have you got for us?
Well, let's go into a TV show. Talked about some recent ones that are big event shows of 2025. So let's go with another big one. It's The White Lotus. It always feels like must-see event TV when it returns. And it's returned for season three. If you're not familiar with this, it's a drama totally written and directed by Mike White, based on these fictional White Lotus resort hotels in various parts of the world. And we get basically very privileged people staying in them and getting up to what privileged people do, which is bicker and fight and complain about their lives, basically. The first season was set in Hawaii. Season two was set in Sicily in Italy. And this third and latest season set in Thailand. And all of this show is on HBO Max, which obviously is launched now in Australia as its own service. So if you've got HBO Max, you'll be able to catch these eight episodes of the new season of White Lotus. Basically, there's three sort of groups in this. There's a very privileged family from North Carolina, husband and wife, and their three adult children. And we find out as the show goes on that the husband is, let's say, put in some very grim financial difficulties back from the US. There's a bit of an odd couple, a young woman and quite an older man that are in a bit of a strange relationship. He doesn't seem matched for her, and he seems a bit sinister. And then we have three women that have been friends for years that decide to have a holiday together, and they seem great friends, but as the show goes on, there's you can see that their friendship's rather fractured. So they're the ongoing stories, plus the staff that work at the White Lotus. And as all White Lotuses do, there's normally a death at the start, so it becomes a bit of a mystery, who has actually died, what happened, and that gets unfolded as the show goes on. They're just really beautifully written shows. They're darkly funny, they're fascinating, they're a bit of a thriller in some sorts, and they're always shot in beautiful locations. This one was shot mainly in Koh Samui in Thailand, and a little bit as well in Phuket. So very exotic locations, always entertaining, always a lot of fun. So if you're not on the White Lotus bandwagon, I really recommend you get on board for the latest season.
All right. I'm always excited for some new shows. And I will say I have watched a bit of season 3 of The White Lotus, and it's probably my favourite one. So
okay, yeah,
I'm going to say that one pretty good, pretty enjoyable.
I think I like them all reasonably equally. This one feels like a slow burn, but by the end, it really, really comes out.
It goes off. Yeah, it pops off.
Yeah, it goes off. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it's really, really entertaining.
Awesome. What's your third recommendation, Wayne?
Okay, well, I've got another show. It's a very interesting one. It's not at the same level as The White Lotus, but I think it's a bit of a fascinating watch. It's called A Gentleman in Moscow. This is an 8-episode series that's on Paramount Plus. It's based on a 2016 novel by Amor Towles. And it's a fictional show, but it has a lot of real history in it. It starts off in 1921 in Moscow, and we have a count, Count Rostov, who's been living in Paris, returns to Moscow. Obviously, at this point in Russia's history, the Russian Revolution has happened. It's a communist takeover, so any of the landed aristocracy are in serious trouble. He returns, and instead of being imprisoned or anything, he actually gets a banishment to the hotel, this luxurious hotel, the Hotel Metropole. He gets stuck up in a very small attic, and that's where he lives his life. And it follows his life for basically 30 years, all through this tumultuous Russian history. We find him living out his life there, and a lot happens. Obviously, Lenin dies through this period, and Stalin comes into control. Eventually, by the time the 50s roll around, Stalin is gone as well. And you just a lot of life changes for Count Rostov. He forms a relationship with a young girl who's the daughter of one of the hotel's employees. So we follow their path. And then we also follow, she has a daughter. And then he sort of, latches onto her in a good way, as someone he can foster and look after and mentor. Mm-hmm. So it's a fascinating look at history. I don't know if this sort of thing did happen in that time where very rich aristocrats weren't put in jail but were sentenced to life in a hotel. But it's really interesting. And I should say Ewan McGregor, who I've always been a fan of, is the main star of this. He plays the Count. So really interesting show, fascinating show, bit of historical license, but still a good look at this period of history. So that's A Gentleman in Moscow. And that's on Paramount Plus.
Awesome. I like a little bit of history with my TV shows, so this will definitely be one I'm going to give a watch to. So now we've got two great films, a great TV series, but I'll need something for my ears. Wayne, have you got a little bit of auditorial delights for us?
I definitely have, and I think we're on the same wavelength, because I think I'm going to talk about an album that's the 2SCR feature album.
It is.
So I think that might be the first time this year,
But surely COVID, not.
I think I had a few last year, but this might be the first. So, of course, I'm talking about Double Infinity, the latest album from The Great Big Thief that came out last week. So it's good to talk about an album that's featuring on the station. This is album number 6 for Big Thief, but it's a bit of a change. I mean, they've just been on an uninterrupted path of success. Just huge album after huge album, highly acclaimed. But they've gone a bit of change the last couple of years. Their bass player, Max Olarchik, was left the band. Some stories about him being forced out or him leaving, I'm not too sure. But it's obviously made a big change to them, because they've always been, the two main strengths are Adrian Lenker, who's a just a phenomenal songwriter, but also the close-knit of the four of them together creating the music. So a bit of a change for them. Apparently they went through a bit of soul-searching about how they would approach this album. And in the end, they did a different approach. Instead of just being them, they decided to take their songs that they ripped the trio had been writing together, go to a studio power station in New York, and they brought in a lot of other musicians, about 10 in total, and made it more of an improvisation on the songs that they'd written. So a lot of it was recorded live with only minimal overdubs. So it's a different sort of sound, still feels like a Big Thief album. I think it's a really, really, really good album, but their standard is so high, I don't think it matches the last two or three albums, but yeah, for most bands, this would be a landmark album. So still really enjoying it. It's reasonably short. It's only 9 songs in total. It has a slightly different feel. There's a little bit more synthesizer on it. Just a little slightly different feel, which I guess that's what they were after when they went into the studios. But because you've still got Lenka at the front with her incredible lyrics and vocals, it still feels like a great Big Thief album, even if it's not a 10 out of 10 like their last couple of albums. But certainly a really worthy album, the new one from Big Thief. It's called Double Infinity.
Well, we'll have to give a listen to this new album. So what's the track we'll play here today, Wayne?
I think I just have to go to Los Angeles. This is easily my favourite song on the album. Great song. Just a really typical, great Big Thief song. I can't really say much more other than Los Angeles is a wonderful song.
We'll jump straight into it then. Wayne, thank you so much for another 4x2. Have a great weekend, and I'll be chatting with you again next Thursday.
No worries, Jack. See you later.
See you later. That was Wayne Massingham for Wayne's 4x2. For more reviews from Wayne, just search Wayne on the 2SER website.